transition from, this is 1 foot above this grading here, so it'll transition up to match the 2 feet. Okay, do we have another view that can kind of show profile view?
I don't have a crappy cross section here, no.
We had to do something with the existing floor screens, and so what we did is, or wall screens, and so what we did is we're cutting them to raise them 2 feet as well. And so that's what we're doing. We have two wall screens. One is right about here, I think, and the other one is right over here. So I looked into putting a third wall screen in, but it didn't help us hydraulically. I'd have to go back and find out why I said that, but I found out that it wasn't... The head we have in here wouldn't be enough to put any flow in here most of the time. So the two wall screens are what we get. That does help us with the some of the temperature issues that might come up if you have a lower temperature coming down compared to what's coming into this supply box, which there can be a little bit of a temperature difference sometimes depending on which fish horns you're pulling from. So that having the two wall diffusers help us make that more of a gradual transition. So yeah, everything's being raised 2 feet and then comes around and then we start the new ladder here. And those are the main changes that we're doing in the existing system. We'll have an automated gate here instead of a manual gate, both here and the one that discharges to the tail race, to the RO channel. This is E2 and E1. It doesn't really show. This is E1 is over here, and E2 is down here.
Steve, with just two diffusers, are you still able to meet velocity criteria for all the AWS flow?
Yeah. Generally, yes. I think we might run into a little bit, might get squeezed a little bit. I brought a copy of the DDR so I can check that, but at very minimum flow, we might get squeezed a little bit on that. We might find, might be a little low at the minimum flow. But it's definitely improved by raising it 2 feet. So we will have operating gates to assure that we are getting the 1 to 1.5 feet of entrance head. This will be the primary gate, and this is the secondary. When we have more flow, we'll be using this as well as this one. But this one will probably be the primary one. This is E2 here, which discharges downstream. The other one discharges to the RO channel. This will be the one that'll have the most flow. And this diffuser, what it does is add flow, and so you get more of a general, it augments flow from this entrance to go downstream and provide a nice entrance attraction. All the ladder weirs will have the same configuration, the same width. We're redoing the ladders and the old channel, the old ladder system, to match the new, and they'll have rounded orifices to augment lamprey passage. These will also have flow sensors in the tailwater channel, the pool one, and the RO channel to help us operate those gates automatically.
With the 2 foot raise, do you have the freeboard in those lower pools where you're repurposing?
We have plenty of freeboard. Good question, though. And these will be the usual 2 feet of difference between the overflow section and the non-overflow section. They just follow the same pattern up. So here we get into the new ladder system, and I don't know, do we have anything else to add structurally, mechanically?
I can't think of anything. I remember at the last meeting, if I'm not skipping ahead too much, on There was concerns about the differing water temperatures.
Right, I did some analysis, and that was coordinated with Dave Linhart and Greg Taylor, and then Greg Taylor, as I presume, coordinated, I don't know if he coordinated with you, but I know he coordinated with the ODFW.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay, so we did some analysis, and there will be, to get the right mix, sometimes you have to have one fish horn being different than the others. And what I worked out was a combination where if this one had to be a colder one, it would have a combination of coming from, you could have one fish horn open at one level, and you could have them at two different levels. And,
right.
And the calculation was that the lower level, you get 60% of that flow from the lower level. It's 55%. Yeah. Somewhere between 55% and 62%, then the other would come. So you can mix from that perspective, and then the other one is up to you whether it's from the higher or lower level going to the existing supply pool.
Okay.
So we have some options, and both Dave and Greg thought that we pretty well addressed that concern.
Okay.
It's not exactly the same as if we had a single mixing pool,
right.
I admit that.
And we can't throttle, these are on-off valves, correct?
Correct. Right. And that was apparently that's what the EDR had planned to do. And
well, the reason for that is juvenile fish passage.
Yeah, we don't
right.
like to throttle because
right.
we don't want to kill the fish, so
right.
the juvenile fish.
Okay. Going up the ladder, I guess. This was a question at the last meeting. How many pools we got in the ladder? How much elevation
40.
Gain?
40 pools?
Yeah.
So does that equal 40 feet elevation?
There.
I'm
wow.
pretty
yeah.
sure.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
An admin note that this is the live model or the model that we're using to design this thing, and they're modifying it right now. That's why this gap exists. So.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not a real gap.
Sure.
We're not going to drop them in a hole. Okay. Don't panic.
They're
39
poles.
39 poles, okay. So 39 feet.
Okay, so now we're getting up to the resort pool.
So I'm sorry I showed up a little late. Stephanie, and so that you're using the existing ladder entrance.
Yes.
You're just refurbishing it a bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Putting in a new gate.
Yeah, we'll have a new gate that will not, the current one's manual, and it's either open or closed. We'll have one that assures that you're meeting entrance head criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I went up and checked it a couple times, and it doesn't most of the time. Usually something less than a foot. So.
Okay. But it's going to come in and then kind of go around the existing.
Yeah, if you want to back up briefly,
yeah.
Joel.
Oh.
Back to the entrance.
Yeah. It's going to all nicely magnified.
So, yeah, we'll be using the same entrance. And as Derek said, we'll, instead of bulkheads, we'll have a. This is not a. This is a gate for. Water and fish ladder, not an entrance gate for regulating head. So the entrance gate that we're using is the existing opening, and then we have additional auxiliary water coming out of this diffuser, which will be totally replaced because it's in very poor condition, and it'll meet not only salmon but lamprey criteria in terms of spacing. And we also have a large diffuser up here as well between. This we call pool one. So we have two entrance gates, effectively. One here, this is E2, and then the other one is discharged in this one. This is the primary one. So yes, the ladder flow comes around here, and all the weirs will be the same. They're new weirs.
Okay.
And as Jeff asked about, we are raising everything 2 feet based on tailwater data that we got back. That if we'd left it as it was, the velocity
has left the conference.
Very slow. And so we calculated 2 feet would be a good raise increment, and it helped us with the drainage problem at the end of it. Okay, I guess we'll go back to where we were. Any more questions about this area?
That's good.
Okay. So we'll get into the part that, fish handling part. So here's the pre-sort pool.
I'll turn off the crowder there. That's a lock.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Did Jay just leave the...
He's
the guy to talk about the crowder.
Maybe he's coming down. I don't know.
Or maybe he is.
I don't know. But he didn't come back on.
So we have two large diffusers that are fed from... This whole structure is called the head box. And this is the pre-sort pool. The collection of the water from the head box, for the head box, is this middle channel here. And so this is the supply pipeline, FWS, facility water supply pipeline, coming from the forebay. And we'll go back and review the valve structures back at the entrance area. But it feeds into this pipe that comes up and then enters this dewatering flume. And it's a trapezoidal shape. The bottom is solid so that we're always assured of getting a certain minimum flow down the flume. And one question we kind of have is, well, we've been using 1/4 inch for hole spacing, or a hole size, which is NIPS criteria.
NIPS criteria for what?
What's that?
NIPS criteria for what?
For juvenile fish.
For screen?
Yeah. If it's a prostate plate, I think it's 1/8 inch.
You just said 1/4. Sorry.
I meant 1/8.
Okay.
Yeah, no, okay. I got my numbers mixed up. If you go back to the existing facility, they have existing screens that are 1/4 inch.
Got it. So this is 1/8.
This is 1/8.
Okay, thank you.
So the question I have is, one of the things that, you know, we're working through is, periodically we'll have to clean this. And,
the current one has algae growing on it all the time.
Right.
So we have to clean it out twice a month.
What we don't know is if we have a 1/8 inch, why we have to clean it more often? Probably.
Presumably. I mean, your growth conditions might be different.
True. Well, one part of the equation that they're having to deal with now that should go away is the volume of rust they're getting, particularly at the beginning of the season. We should be fixing that. So that part will go away. But we might want to put a cleanup in there. Just to say so. So that's a question that right now we're going to try to clean it while it's still running, you know, with either pressure hose, extended pressure hose, or a broom, or both. But we think how they do it now is they shut off one screen and switch it over to, you know, they have 3 screens. So they have the option of switching over to the other screens and then standing in there and cleaning. The way we've got it right now, they can't exactly stand in there because it's too narrow on the bottom. So they have to reach from the outside. But if they have to shut it down, you know, that's like an hour that we have to shut it down every couple months. Or no, twice a month, is that what Greg was saying?
So yeah, the worst case.
That would be a problem because that's your sole supply for your pool. I mean, so you'd have to do it when that's your ladder, that's everything.
Right, it is. So, well, we do have, so what Greg said is they would process the fish before they can pick when they clean it. They process the fish and make sure they empty the holding ponds. This will retain water for any fish that comes on, but if we, you know, shut it off for half an hour, then this will retain water, but the ladder will start losing water.
Are you going to salvage the ladder every time you do this?
I don't know if we talked about that yet.
That would be a major undertaking.
Yeah, I know.
2 weeks. You're envisioning not being able to clean this active when it's currently?
Well, I'm not sure. That's what they think, or that's what their experience has been.
So is anybody from, sorry, I was just wondering if Greg Taylor is on. Elizabeth, is Greg Taylor on?
I called in a little bit. I don't know if he came on before me. I don't know, but I have Todd here.
I'm here too now, I'm Chad.
Okay, do you guys have any perspective on this cleaning issue?
What happened?
Just regarding the frequency of it?
Yeah, and what's causing it? So, I mean, do we have a sense of the magnitude? If two times a month?
The dewatering screens right now, they seem to be that we're cleaning them, I think, probably on average once a month. Seems like they're getting clogged up faster this year than previous years, but yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, there's going to be some new screens in there, if I'm not mistaken. So there's been talk of possibly shading the things to cut back on the growth, the algae growth. Not entirely sure.
Okay, thanks.
Could you potentially divide it in half lengthwise and clean one half at a time and still maintain enough flow to run the ladder?
Well, I need all 40 feet to water the end of the flow.
Divide it in half along the length of it. So you've got one half, 40 feet long, mm-hmm. however half the width wide, you clean that. You isolate it, clean it, and then
Just kind of thinking out loud here.
Because all of the flow that ends up getting used everywhere goes through the bottom of this, and the
right.
thing that goes off the end is your Turner River, correct?
Correct. And it ends up in the Turner River. Correct. So yes, our water supply is dependent on this.
That's the main water supply for the whole ladder.
Correct.
Well, yes, for the ladder.
Except for the
auxiliary water down below.
Right.
Yeah, shutting off the ladder every 2 weeks to a month, that's a non-starter, I think. That's just not reasonable. And we don't do that anywhere.
So what do you guys do now out in the field?
Well, they have three screens they can turn off. One of them, and then switch it over to another one.
In worst case, if you have to add a mechanical cleaning system to this so that it can be cleaned underwater, so be it. But shutting it down like that, I don't think so.
So you suggested that?
What's that?
Mechanical?
I did. I know it's expensive.
Yeah, it could be a better option.
This is the overall cue for the river below the dam, correct? All the water is coming through this facility as it is now.
It's true.
So,
no, the RO.
Well, no, but typically during
but
summer,
in
we're not
summer,
operating the RO.
Yeah.
We're at low
well, there's
flow.
Some AWS flow that should be, that would go through diffusers, that would not. Okay. So you have some flow.
I'm just wondering what fluctuation
yeah.
would
but,
flow.
Yeah, what flow usually flow. Is coming through this at the top?
Conceivably,
it
you have
ranges
to have
from
yeah.
50 to 110 CFS.
Your flows get that low. I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
but they're
points.
Operating in the
yeah.
summer.
I mean, you could jack up the flow through the AWS and still maintain the flow. It'd be an interesting transition, but nevertheless, yeah, I don't see shutting down a ladder that frequently during season. I mean, we don't want to shut them down during the season at all.
I mean, no, I don't.
They won't close it off with fishing on this one either.
Yeah, it's just.
Is there a velocity you could run that would keep it clean?
Well,
I mean,
the
keep the junk out
high.
Of it.
They're slower down here, up here, because it's deeper, and then but it's like 6-7 feet per second. By the time you get down here, it's 15-20 feet per second in the shallow.
Now, why are they screening it?
So, are they similar, to what they're seeing right now?
I'd have to go back and check. I never really analyze them that closely. They're probably pretty similar. Maybe ours are faster because we have a longer stretch.
Well, I personally don't think we're going to solve this right now. Do you see a quick solution, Steve? If not, I think we better have the team
ponder it and figure out what.
We need to talk about this in our
right, opinion. So we can figure out what we should do how to address your concern. I mean, because I don't see a simple solution without mechanical here to talk about the mechanical cleaning. And Jay is not on the phone anymore, so is that okay with everybody that we address it and provide you a comment back?
Yeah, just please do as soon as you can.
Okay, got it.
Well, what were you? You started to say this, but it didn't go there. But changing the size of the screens.
Well, that was one question I was going with was if we change the holes, maybe we don't have to clean this often. But if we're gonna put in a, if it's decided that we're gonna put in a screen cleaner, then I think that's kind of a moot point.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, if it's a particular characterization of debris, potentially changing the screen material might. And go to profile bar or something like that, it may retain material differently, it may grow moss. I mean,
yeah, in Minto, we have a, I don't know if it's a moss or algae problem, or vertical bar screens there.
Yeah. I will say, as you guys take this back to your team, an air cleaner is not going to be.
No, I think it has to be a brush cleaner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's. We use both, but Bonneville dewatering. Okay, we have a screen cleaner, it's not exactly the same, but it's a sloping crossing plate. We use it at Bonneville, and I think John Day, Jugon, small monitoring systems, and they seem to work okay.
And do those park up out on water when they're not being
used? Yeah, they would just park at the upstream end, and then they follow the flow down.
As they cycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, flat table, unless you can get back to us preferably before you come up with your next, like ECOS.
Group. Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah. No problem.
Yeah, this is a significant design.
For sure.
We'll talk about it Thursday. Yeah. That's our next meeting. We'll hash it out. What are our main items?
Okay, so where were we? Okay, so if shutting it down for a couple times a month is not feasible, even if you clear out the post sort.
Couldn't you do like a bypass, like shut down that part and bypass the water straight into
there'd be
the
a lot more civil works for that than there would be for really? Just putting in a white
okay. Just an idea.
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose we could theoretically just...
So that you don't dewater the whole thing. I mean, because they only, they clean the trap out, not every single day, or we're hoping every day, but in practice that never seems to happen. So.
You could conceivably put a bypass right to the head box, but then you're not screening trash or fish. And the trash is going to be a problem.
But if it only takes an hour to do it, are you going to get that much trash in an hour? Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like... Practically, it's not like you're shutting it down for a day, right?
No, we were configuring conservatively an hour based on our conversation with Greg. He says they take an hour to clean all three screens, and this we're cleaning one screen, so we're figuring half an hour to an hour. Mm-hmm. The debris part is it gets on the backside of our user screens elsewhere, which I don't want.
Okay.
But I would be willing to consider that if you put in a trash rack inside that pipe.
Then you can't clean that. I mean, you're kind of chasing.
You'd have to clean it. Yeah, you'd have to. Every time you operate, you'd have to go and check.
Check the other thing.
You'd have two valves, one of them, so you can pull it out. It's like a hose filter.
Sure.
But then you've shifted the flow back and the fish back to the other one. So I mean, it's just giving you a safety valve.
Right.
I mean, you clean it when that's not needed, and you just go back and forth with them.
But then you may have juvenile fish in there, right?
Correct. We would not be doing the juvenile fish in
there. I'd like to point out that the juvenile fish is very much secondary here because we went through a pretty extensive study process.
Remember, we wanted the screen at the intake.
That led us not putting on T-screens to begin with. So, so this is, it's more of a debris screen than it is a fish screen. That's why we're allowing this system to go in as is. So if you can make it work and you're going to have an hour every
2 weeks that you don't have this degree of fish screening, that's fine too.
Yeah. The bypass.
Yes.
Because this screen's not designed to
criteria.
And I mean, if it turns out that there's a lot of fish that end up going there, despite all the studies that said no, they shouldn't, then we'd be looking at another way to provide fish passage at that dam. Because, you know, we've been convinced that this does not pass juvenile fish.
And I understand the survival rate isn't very good in the fish pond right now.
Right.
And what fish do you get?
Yeah. But this wasn't designed.
But we were trying to do the best we could.
Right, we understand that.
You know, what fish are still alive
correct.
And coming down. So this is what we came up with.
Okay. No, that's fine. But, you know, if it's only for an hour and we have so few juvenile fish coming through.
That's, and if you know when they're
and
passing,
it's not when most of the fish are coming out.
So we're clear. That's fine. The shutdown, that's affecting your adults. And that's a big concern.
That's true. Okay, so we have a couple of options to look at and talk about it.
Yeah, Jeff, I don't want to shut it down. I just was trying to find some plumbing to get around that.
Okay, so that's a good idea.
Right.
Would you guys be open, though, to different hole sizes since this is no longer juvenile fish? Is it the brain screen?
Talk kind of both sides of my mouth.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
Well, I'm not trying to push you, paint you in a corner here, but I'm just curious if that's even an option we should even look at.
If you were totally convinced that would solve your debris problem, I'd entertain it.
Okay.
I doubt I can make that statement.
Okay.
I just don't know how much or whether it'll make it worse. Okay, so let's go back to plan view, I guess. So.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
What's the floor is solid, but the screen material is on an angle. What is that angle?
It's. 3 horizontal to 1 vertical.
So I will offer a plate of experience with pure horizontal screens using a perf plate material. And I don't know if the sediment characterization is the same, but they had issues. It was out in the John Day Basin where they would fill up, and it was actually subsequent to a forest fire that was draining a certain kind of sediment into the system. And there was just a size of small gravel that would perfectly coat that material. And perf plate would not, or not, perf plate will do that, like profile bar would not, but your hydraulics are more difficult with that, I understand.
It's, and supercritical flow profile bar.
And a wiper.
Kind of nasty.
Yeah, a wiper will not touch that stuff. So this is a reservoir, your rust problem's potentially solved. It's probably not an issue. I think you've got more biological, or,
Organic.
So I don't think you have an issue. I offer that up as a point of reference.
Well, then that would go back to the argument of the quarter. I think if we come up with one of those two ideas and work through them, I think we stick to one.
Good enough.
Okay, so all the water's coming in here, and as I said, it's between actually 40 and sometimes the minimum flow can get down to 40, depending on the time of year. Well, actually, and at that point, when we're down to 40 CFS, that's pretty much all of our needs. We don't need quite that much because we're not. It's all in the DDR on the calculations of what, minimum flow versus maximum flow. Most of the time, we have a surplus, and so that surplus is sent over to an adjacent channel, which ends up returning back. Actually, this is the adjacent channel, which returns back to the existing supply structure and entrance area for augmentation of the auxiliary water supply. So we have pipes that feed in to these two diffusers, and if you back it, zoom it out a little bit. Now, under here, you can see the pipes, and then there's some valves, and they'll basically be set and leave, and what we'll do is determine There's two valves that hit it right here, butterfly valves. And so this is feeding in from the head box, and these are the two pipes feeding back to the
pre-sort.
And they will be set leave, and what we'll do is just hold the head box level compared to the pre-sort. But just hold the difference. We have a modulating wheel and level sensors, and pretty straightforward operation.
So when you're crowding fish through the pre-sort, you're not going to be shutting down the downstream most diffuser?
We could, yeah, we can. What Doug Richards is electrical on this, and what he did at Foster's, you can take an operation, you know, an adjustment to the pre-sort and just go right to that.
Okay.
So we change the, you know, rather than, and we typically we just leave it that way because we want to promote them to head towards the false rear anyway.
Okay.
So can we go back to the pre-sort? Yeah, there you are.
Okay.
Go back upstream. Okay, so this is the finger weir. We'll set and leave it for the most part. It's size 3/4 inch opening, which is what we coordinated with Greg and Chad and Doug to prevent lamprey from getting in as well as salmon. Prevent lamprey from getting in and prevent salmon from going back. Now you can move upstream. Okay, so here we have the crowder, which I have to do that.
That's the braille right there. It's the crowder was got something else in it.
Okay. And then we have the false rear. I think we need to show it in. Can we show the profile view or not? I don't know if we can. Well, okay, so that's the false rear opening. That's the water. Oh.
Yeah, we're looking downstream right now.
Okay. So this is the dewatering flume here. And this is the pre-sort, but I don't see where the pulse
is.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Good job. Sorry. So, yeah, it's hard to make it out. But that's the opening. You've got the closure gate, but it looks a lot like the one we use at Minto. And Foster, but Foster, they just got the elevation going. We won't have that problem.
If you tried to put the crowder on in this view, would that you still could you see anything?
Not a whole lot. That whatever that surface
it takes it over.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll turn it. Want to take a second to find.
Okay. Thanks. Because before we were looking above down, and I'm just wondering what it looks like in that angle.
While I was doing that, I just want to make sure everyone got a set of the plans, PDFs, discs, everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, can you, any questions about this general area that I can answer? Or anybody?
Yeah.
The rest of us here?
Yeah.
Oh, there's the crowd. I think it's basically the same concept as Foster. There was some minor improvements. It has the lateral movement and the braille movement upwards. And I think the opening is 3/8 inch, the bar spacing.
And the braille sits in a cavity so that you're not crowding up to the face
right.
of the braille?
Okay.
Yeah,
because there's a cutout for it.
Yeah. It's right. Here. It's in the raised position just for modeling purposes. But yeah, it's
good.
So here's, okay, this is a good view here. You can see the beginning of the flume. The false weir comes in here. So you've got, it'd be controlled by a small pump, and it'll simply recirculate water from the pre-sort pool. It'll be screened beforehand. And it bubbles up, and there's another pipe coming from the FWS to augment the flume flow up to 1.25 CFS. You know, what we've been finding is that they typically like to run less flow than that, but that's what we designed it up to. And we looked into having, you know, originally we were going to have U-shaped part of the way, but it was such a short distance. What we found was more beneficial is to, with the U-shape, you have to have a blunt change in the invert or minor change. With this, we'll have a radius bottom. So it's just going to be rectangular, and then we can have our switch gates.
There's that yellow part with the black box, that's the pit tag.
And this is initially steep and to get the fish moving quickly, and then this is a 6% slope here. So switch gate one.
Turn the river?
Yeah. And then switch gate two is to the holding pond number one. And then you have this other flume for holding pond number
one. That one goes to one.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Right. Okay, this is the number two. Okay.
Can you pan out a little bit to where we can look at the table and those two? I know we talked about this at 60%, and I will, to some extent, defer to Chad and the folks that are going to use this, but I'm not wild about having to carry the fish from the table to those pipes.
Chad? Or Doug?
Yes.
Did you hear Jeff's question slash concern?
Can you speak up a little bit? I'm having a real hard time hearing you guys.
Sure. In this view and the current design, the sort table is not adjacent to the drop pipes for the two post-sort pools, so you will have to carry the fish across dead air and feed them into those pipes as opposed to sliding them across the table and into the pipe that way. What do you think about that?
It just kind of gives us more flexibility. I mean, I agree what you're saying. It just, like the Cougar, it's worked really well for us. We have kind of all open around the anesthetic tank so we can work the fish up and then, you know, put them into the tube. It's just something we all kind of thought was a better way to go.
Okay. Yeah, I think on this one I'll defer.
It seems weird.
Yeah, we originally had it designed like, you know, Foster.
Foster.
Yeah.
But you guys don't like that? Is that...
That's our preference.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it beneficial to Cougar because we're handling almost every single fish taking rocks and just thinking of the long term on this?
And I mean, at Fall Creek, we're doing the same thing, Ian. I mean, we're taking clips on every fish. We're doing pretty much the same thing at Fall Creek as we're doing at Cougar, so.
Right, I'm just thinking of long term when you're not having all
the long term, you'd use the one that's attached.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, we still have an option to bypass the anesthetic tank if need be.
Okay. See, I guess all these fish are going to be anesthetized when you carry them, so that's not as much concern. It's not a rodeo.
Right. Yeah. The other feature that was added since 60% based on comments, I don't know if this is it or not, but I could chat. Those guys were saying that the eggs pop out really easily, so they made it so they could
carry
them right at the end. So
yeah, I remember that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, late in the season, the fish are very fragile, so, I mean, we got to handle them very carefully so they don't spill any of their eggs.
So the flume, the distribution flume comes down here and it dewaters the flow and puts fish in the anesthesia tank here. And then whatever flume flow is in here is also dewatered before the fish are discharged into the holding tanks.
Where is the flow for those two post-sort pipes introduced?
Up from the bottom.
And then from the inside angle, we switch that from 60% based on your
head. Yeah, I think you might have had a comment on that.
I did, and that was, I'd like to see some water where there's just a spray to lubricate that first section of pipe before the water up happens, because you've got, looks like a couple of feet before you're getting to that water.
Okay, we need Jay to help with that.
Yeah.
Okay. as you get that?
He's made to note. I'll make a note too.
But please be sure to make a comment too, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good comment.
Yeah. Up at Cougar, the water is introduced right at the entrance of the pipe. We have some sprayers up there that lubricate the tube, so. Yeah, I think getting as close to the opening as possible would be good.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Jay about it, see what he can do.
And like you run on to a little tiny valve.
Yeah. Just put a spray head at the crown, potentially.
Yeah, just shoot it down. Someone will probably dribble out this way.
So be it. It's graded four, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you have a slope on the pipe headed to the copper, so, I mean, this one. To where they're getting out.
I guess we can go, maybe we should go back up and look at the overall flume system. Will it show through the building?
Which flume system?
Okay, there's the recovery tank here. And this feeds into a pipe that comes down and then joins the return river flume. So the return, going back up here, this is the end of our dewatering flume. So our water, we have a transition and then a helical flume at 6% grade, which will handle a variable flow from 3 to 11 CFS. And so that eventually goes under the building, and this recovery flume feeds into it. Also, the first switch gate feeds into it. And then all of that joins this return to river flume. So you see the connections coming in here.
Phil, you might follow in that.
All the way back. It goes,
to the river. So it goes at 6% the whole way there.
Yeah.
And then comes back up at the entrance.
Yeah. Okay. We put it in here because it's the only really good place in the camp.
Oh, I handwritten a comment in my review of the plan set so far, going back to the helix. Mm-hmm. And that's solid pipe, and it looks like there's no way to inspect that.
There's supposed to be some ports on there. Make a comment on that. I'd ask for those ports myself.
Ports.
Got it. Okay.
This is the inverter of this is 1 foot above our high water flow for fish passage, the 5% exceedance. So.
Okay. Turn out the structure, so the pipe can't get back on.
Yeah, that's good. So, okay, here you see the built, telescoping bellows or whatever.
Bellows,
Nice valve, which the truck backs into and connects to. And what we're planning to do is when we drain the truck, we would put it into a raised pipe, right?
Yep. Stand pipe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that feeds back to, I think that just feeds right back to the river, doesn't it?
Yep.
Because it doesn't have to be treated.
Right.
So this is, this is the water supply.
Fill the truck.
Mm-hmm. And
our participant has joined the conference.
Hi, who just joined us?
Yeah, this is Lawrence. How you doing?
Schwabe. Oh, Lawrence Schwabe, thanks. Hi, Lawrence.
Hello.
And by the coding, you can tell red is drainage. So red is drainage and silver is lime.
Is there anything about the top or the bottom of the pool?
Let's do a look down on it.
Yeah.
Plan view. Okay, so we have an inflow diffuser. I think it's over here.
Right here is the inflow.
Oh, okay, sorry. I remember. And then the drainage, you know, we want to drain it down before we fill the truck. This is one we use. Or drain the pool for end of the year or something. And this one here has two different operations. One is the normal recirculation flow for the fish that are in the pond. And so that's a half CFS per pond. And then, you know, after we've emptied it, we want to refill it. So then we crank up a larger valve. We have two valves going to this one, you know, a bypass with a small pipe and a large, you know, normal size pipe, 12 inch, I think, that allows us to fill it at a rate of about 5 CFS. And then we have an overflow rear with a grating. I think the grating is at 3/8 inch, as I recall, openings.
That would be in front of this.
Yeah, and it spills over. If whatever flow comes in, it's spilling over the screen. But it's screened with the grating. They're all the same size. And Reba has assured me she can handle the loads that are created by the hydraulic loads.
Handle the loads from what?
The uplift loads from the,
the
partially plugged springs and such.
Yeah.
We did one thing a little bit different from Cougar. We tried to have as much as possible a dual slope rather than a single slope, you know, just one side. Because I think that'll help the fish find their way to the middle better.
Okay.
Or maybe water supply now?
Yeah.
Yeah, back to the valve area.
Yeah, can you just show the piping? Yeah, perfect. Small, middle, large dishwater pipes coming from the forebay. So we have these are air valves, so you don't have, you know, you just need that because we're going to trap air here from time to time. So these are the large knife valves, and we have, for example, the large here, we have to have one for supply structure and one for the head box, the new head box. And then the same goes with the middle. We have one for the supply structure and existing screens. And then over here is the other valve for the head box. And finally, we just need one valve for the small pipe because it's always going to this one. And we had to move these downstream because of the upstream closure valve wouldn't work. Obviously, we couldn't, you know, they'd cut us off if we were trying to put water down to the head box. So, in all cases, we had to move the closure valves for the existing system downstream of our Ys.
So those three pipes are showing where the elevation where they come out at the downstream face of the dam. I mean, you're not changing where it comes out of the dam, right? But
they're existing up to this point.
Right. Okay. And all the merging and stuff, how you can get them from different levels. that all happens inside the dam, right?
No, the dam's way back here.
Yeah, yeah, yes. That's what I meant.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Okay, oh, there it is.
Yeah, there are the horns.
Right. Do you want some explanation on how that works?
No, I know how it works. I just wanted to know if you're modifying that.
Derek, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, well, we are modifying that right now.
Not on this job, but on the one we're currently working on.
That's what you're working on
this
year.
Construction right now.
Refurbishing most of the fish farms and all of the fish farms.
The valves.
Replacing one, right?
Yeah, and replacing the valves and making it a water based actuated system instead of oil.
So that work's going on right now.
Okay. Yeah.
It should be completed by January.
Okay. How are you currently? This is just a point of curiosity, supplying the system with that work going on?
What we're going to do is shut down. Actually do any of this field work until October.
Got it.
Okay. Putting the ladders down.
Submittals and fabrication.
We have a long lead item on the valves. They take 9 months to just bring them in, so we had to award it and then wait. So basically.
Got it. So going does not mean active construction in this case.
I don't think they're even out in the field yet. I think that we were asking questions about trailer stuff, I think I had the right job, but. Anyway,
there's some upgrade to the
electrical system as well. Yeah. So, just sort of a tangent subject, but so they're fabricating all this stuff right now, and we have that 10-day period where they draw it down really low to get those lowest ones, and we rush in and get a bunch of stuff.
And we're in the middle of a drought, so we may not. Who knows how that will all play out.
So maybe easier to draw it down.
Yeah, that's my point. And we don't know all those details right now, but yeah, that's, yep.
Okay.
Doug, I hope you got your screw trap operating if they draw it down early. Good.
Did we cover all that, the water supply, I guess?
Are we good?
Hey, Steve?
Yes.
Hey, Leah, back to the dewatering screens, back at the head box.
Sure.
We pulled up some of the data from the evaluator over the last 3 years, and it looks like there was only 3 fish, 55 millimeters or less, that were captured in the evaluator over the last 3 years. So, next to nothing fry sizes coming through that time of year. So just want to throw that out there.
So is this to help us decide whether to put in that pipe bypass then, or
larger, just the screen size of,
or the larger holes?
If it is possible to larger than fry size, I don't know if it'd make a difference or not. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I don't know. I guess I haven't been coming to the
for some reason.
But I know, but I mean, I was working with the folks that were doing the research, and with Jeff as we were talking about the whole screening. But now it seems like maybe what you guys have been doing is designing as much as you can to juvenile passage criteria so that if eventually someone decides to do something like hang nets outside of that, you might turn this into a better juvenile facility. And then you'd end up having an internal bypass that's not really as good as we'd like, but maybe it's better than nothing. And I mean, that's kind of, I'm thinking maybe that was kind of what was going on behind the scenes.
I kind of think it was just a belt and suspenders. What few fish we can get in will be handled as we can.
Yeah, basically been our approach.
Because, I mean, I'm the biologist that's worked on this project for MIMS, and one of the, the approach that you guys have been using for juvenile passages, we've got this great drawdown thing in the fall, late winter, and we'll do that, and that's good, and we like that, but we're also concerned about, there are other fish there throughout the year that might actually move out if you had a way for them to get out. But when all you've got right now is 50 CFS coming through these fish horns, they're not likely to do it, and that's why we don't see them. But maybe in the spring, if you had some different system there, you might actually see a big bunch of them move on out. So I know that's not in the immediate future, but long term, I thought, you know, maybe you guys are thinking long term. There might be some way we could use this system with something at the face of the dam that would get the fish out. So I hate to have you build something that long term we say, eh, that's too harsh on fish. Build a whole new juvenile structure. I mean, looking at Ian and Rich, because I think you guys understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah,
I think I'll be long down that line on this, really. I think what we were trying to do is exactly what you said before, is that any fish we do get in, we're going to try to, you know, treat friendly in that sense.
Do the best you can.
But I think the overall intent is not to get fish through these horns. Horns we know are not in good shape, and we don't want to be using them at this point at all for passage. So.
Going on Stephanie's line of thought, if this were going to be a long-term passage structure, one of the concerns that I would throw out there with the proposal is that the changing water surface elevation over those screens is going to change your approach velocity. So you're going to have hot spots at the beginning of the screen, just to let you know that. But
well, I changed the prop.
It's just project.
It does technically violate the 0.4 feet per second in places. There's quite a bit of analysis in the CDR where I look at high flow rate and three different flow rates, and I do show where the maximum losses do occur. There are a couple. You know, there are some places that do violate the 0.4 feet per second, particularly at the maximum flow. I think the max was like 0.7 feet per second. That coupled with the high sweeping, the ratio of the high sweeping velocity, we thought would probably, you know, that it looked like to us it was okay.
Yeah, I defer to Jeff because this is one of those things where there is a downstream component. And just for the Willamette, we sort of split the baby that way. Mm-hmm. That would just have been my comment if this isn't.
Right. But it's a really good point that as the level changes, the velocity to the plate will change. And as it goes down, it drops. And as it goes up, it goes up.
Yeah.
So the porosity were much as, you know, basically we're designed around that maximum flow. But again, in order for me to meet the 0.4 feet per second, I would have had to have an 80-foot plume, which was not really feasible. I had to lobby hard to get the 40-foot plume. Because to meet all our other criteria, like the pre-sort, I only need to be 30 feet.
We're going to miss that part. How would we get a 30-foot pre-sort?
Well, what we needed to meet the volume criteria in the pre-sort
was
only 30 feet, but I needed at least 40 feet to do a reasonable job of the water and, you know, the range of flows that we're dealing with.
Oh, so that the pre-sort pool could still shrink.
Well, no,
no, probably not now, but...
We got more volume than
go there.
Now he tells us.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thanks, Steve. The DDR. You weren't there in the middle.
We're rousing you.
So is there anything else? Anything else you need to see? Okay, so let me...
Go.
The
existing evaluator, I think I'm even right, chair here, but the screens for the AWS, those are being replaced, correct? The material?
It should be, but I'm not sure Jay's gotten on that yet.
Okay.
That was the plan, particularly because we have a problem with the edges.
Right.
It'd be nice to know if there's a material that's less vulnerable to catching algae, growing algae. I don't know if it's growing on it or just coming from downstream or from upstream.
Okay,
So the main thing that we owe Jeff is a response back on how we're going to deal with the dewatering and the debris issue. The things that came.
Amanda, could you speak up a hair, please?
So the main thing that I and Jay, I'm sorry, Derek may have other things, but the main thing we owe you a response back, and you're going to provide this as official comment, is how are we going to clean the screens, keeping the ladder up all the time? That's what I heard you say. And the things that were thrown at us were basically brush would work better than air. We don't probably have a chance with air. And to look at possible bypass and see how that would work.
Just a clarification. Is that operating year-round or through the normal?
No, it's through the fish hatchet season. Okay. It's just no in-season shutdowns for cleaning the screen.
Okay. And then the second thing I heard is that we need to provide ports and the helix so that there's ability to get in there and inspect it, clean it out, whatever. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Make sure debris is not catching in there.
Okay, and let's see. Those are the main things.
Spray on the pipes.
And the spray on the pipes, spray right. Yeah, I hadn't turned my page over yet, so spray on those pipes. So did I miss anything, Derek?
The hole sizes could get bigger and helps.
It'd be entertaining.
Solve the debris.
Well, I think I sense a little resistance there still, guys. So,
well, it could be entertaining.
But yeah, ideally we keep it everything per book.
Okay. Anything else, Derek?
I just had one question on the air cleaning. What was the flaw on that one?
Well, in this case, I'll tell you. Unless we change the bar screen, it wouldn't work. An air burst system would be very difficult to work on a frosting plate.
Oh, okay. Just doesn't. Okay.
I think it'd be very difficult.
Yeah. To add to that, two things really. One is if your debris is significant enough and you introduce air, you get some substantial uplift forces.
Very true. Real.
And the other is the air can, if the problem's algae, the air feeds the algae.
Yeah.
That wouldn't help us. Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like algae's are a problem.
Anything else, Derek?
Well, no. One of the solutions was maybe shading it.
Oh, yeah, we talked about shading it, right? So
I don't know what problem that introduces.
Yeah, if you want to hang it out, I guess. Then you have to go back and change it if it doesn't work.
Right.
But it could provide us some help in keeping it at bay. So, I mean, maybe we entertain that, too. Okay.
Yeah, maybe it's a series of things.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so anything else, guys?
Yeah, I
going on. Okay. Thank you for coming. Appreciate your feedback, and we'll be back.
Remind me again, what's the due date on these comments?
24?
24, I would say. August 24th.
I thought it was the 24th. Yeah, I don't have
that's
it.
That's what we put out in the letter. Yeah, 24th.
There Okay.
Thanks, Natalie, Derek, and
Jeffrey.
So, guys on the phone, we're going to take about a 15-minute break before we go to the next agenda item on Foster EDR comment review. So we'll be back in about 15 minutes.